Good morning. Welcome to your service of worship. If you're visiting with us, we give you a very special welcome. The first thing I want to announce is, as most of you know, and will have had the email from our minister about the death of the Reverend Robin Patterson. So we'll just read what Stephen said in his email. It is with sadness that I inform you of the death of the Reverend Professor Robin Patterson. He passed away this morning. That was Friday morning past in Aldnagelvin Hospital, having been taken there earlier in the week with COVID-19. Due to the ongoing pandemic, a service of thanksgiving will be conducted at the Graveside EV in our churchyard at 2 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday the 7th of November. So that was yesterday. So that's the funeral was yesterday. Our sympathies go out to his nephew Timothy and the rest of the family circle. There are some of these orders of services with his picture available at the front and some in the church hall if you would like one, or if there's somebody else in the congregation who you think would like one, please pass one on. Then just a couple of other announcements. The midweek Bible study will be this Wednesday night at 7:30. It will be a Zoom Bible study, and it's the last chapter in the Christian Institute Bible study book. So the last chapter in the Christian Institute Bible study book, 7:30 on Wednesday night. If you need a code or a password, please speak to Cal. Then the evening service will be in the hall at 6:30, preceded by the prayer time at 5:45. Please remember the earlier time for the prayer time in the evening is 5:45. I think that's all the announcements. We're very pleased to have Reverend Blair McFarland with us to bring God's word to us today. Our own minister is in Brady. Brady's a vacant congregation, as you know, so Stephen's taking his turn to preach in Brady this morning. He'll be back in the evening, so just welcome Blair to our pulpit today to preach God's word.
Thank you very much, Robert, for the welcome, and it's good to be back with you all. Today. So, Professor Patterson was one of my lecturers when I was in college, and a man who's gifted in the Greek language and New Testament studies. We pray for your minister, Stephen, as he's in Enniskillen this morning. Pray for him as he travels back to today. We do, as interim moderator, I do appreciate the various ministers who are willing to go both to Enniskillen and to Brady to take the supplies. So thank you for letting your minister do that and help out. We come to worship, and we worship in the words of Psalm 40. So I'll read some of these verses. I waited, longing patiently. I waited for the Lord. At last he bowed down close to me and heard my pleading word. He pulled me from a pit of fear, from mud and clinging clay. He set my feet upon a rock and firmly fixed my way. Here is the testimony of a man who was in difficulty, a man who called out to God for help, and a man who was heard. God came and rescued him and gave him a new life, pulled him out of the pit, set his feet on solid ground, and gave him a song to sing. And that is our testimony when we have come to Christ, when we've seen the problem we're in, and we call out for mercy and help, and Christ saves us from our sin. And he gives us a new life, a life with a song to sing that praises our Saviour. So let us worship God as we listen, as we sing in our hearts, as we worship the Lord using Psalm 40.
Thank you.
tonight in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you that we can enter your presence today in worship. We thank you that you are the great God who delights in his people coming, entering your presence, offering you praise, because you are worthy. You are worthy of our adoration and our praise. You are the great God, the one who has created this universe, the one who has formed us, given us the gift of life. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you too for the gift of eternal life, that through Jesus we can know our sins forgiven. We thank you that when we were in the pit, you had mercy upon us. And when we called out to you, you answered us. And when we, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, when we realized our own need as sinners, that we were enabled to turn to Christ and to trust in him. And so it is in his name that we gather this morning. We plead only his righteousness. And we ask, Father, that you'd be pleased to meet with us, to speak to us through your word, to bless us in our time of worship together. We pray this morning for those who are unable to be with us because they're self-isolating or because they are ill. We ask, Lord, that you be very close to them, that they may be aware of your presence and your blessing on this Lord's Day. Undertake for us, we pray. Forgive us for all our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us turn in Scripture to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So, as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. We give thanks to the Lord for this, his infallible word. So, as we come to prayer again, there are a number of matters we want to give thanks for and pray about. And we've been much in prayer about this pandemic, and it is it's a matter for ongoing prayer, because it is so dangerous and rampant. We've heard recently, for example, that Paul Flynn, who is one of the students at the college, has tested positive, and that means that some of the professors, David Mackay, for example, in Shaftesbury, has to self-isolate, and I understand their service this morning is online, not in person. Malcolm and Muriel Ball both have got COVID, and Muriel's sister is very seriously ill in hospital. She has underlying health problems. So we want to pray for them. Well, I invite you to join with me in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, for all your blessings to us, that we're here in good health. We thank you for the homes that we live in and the comfort that they provide. We thank you for family around us and the joy of having family members. We give thanks today, Lord, for the life of Robin Patterson. We thank you for his friendship to many of us. We thank you for the gifts that you gave him, the gifts of the Greek language and his scholarship in the New Testament studies. We thank you, Lord, that you used him as a preacher of the gospel, going back to his days of youth, and preaching in the Guildhall and other places around. And we thank you for his ministry in the church. We thank you, Lord, on this Remembrance Sunday, for those who in the past have laid down their lives so that we can enjoy freedom. And we thank you not only in the two world wars, but in other conflicts, those who have sacrificed themselves for our benefit. But we thank you most of all for the sacrifice of Christ, that the Son of God became man, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law. And Lord, we acknowledge our need as sinners, and we thank you for Jesus, that he gave his life for us, that we might live eternally. And so we praise you, and it's in his name that we gather today. We pray for your blessing, Lord, upon ourselves and our loved ones. We pray for those we've already mentioned, those who have been struck with COVID. We ask, Lord, for healing according to your gracious will. And we thank you for those who are serving in our hospitals and nursing homes and who are caring for us, who are putting their own lives in danger for our benefit. Bless them, O Lord. Give them the energy they need in this tiresome task, and protect them, we pray. We pray, Lord, for the preaching of your word here in our own midst this morning, in Brady, in Enniskillen, and throughout our nation, where the word of God is proclaimed in sincerity and in truth. We pray, Lord, that you would use it to convict sinners of their need, to draw them to Christ, to build up believers in their faith, to strengthen them, and that you would send us out into the week to live for you. And we thank you for Jesus, that he intercedes for us in heaven at the Father's right hand. so may we represent him on earth day by day. So bless us, we pray. Help us to be receptive to your word. Strengthen us in our faith and send us forth as your messengers to live for you. We ask it all in Jesus' name, seeking the forgiveness of all our sins. Amen. I didn't ask, do you take a collection, an offering? No?
There's a retiring offering. Just...
Very good. Thank you. So, I invite you to open your Bibles again at Romans chapter 1. I want to speak this morning about prayer. Prayer is a wonderful privilege. The fact that we can come into God's presence without fear and trembling. We're not like Esther in the Old Testament. Even though she was a queen, for her to go in and speak to her husband, she was taking her life in her hands. Because if he was in a bad mood, that would have been the end of her. The fact that we can enter the presence of our Creator God and call him Father is a tremendous privilege. The fact that we who are sinners can enter the presence of a holy God and not be consumed like a piece of paper in a blazing fire is amazing. I remember one evening when we were youngsters sitting. It was a Sabbath evening. We'd gone home after the evening service. We were sitting around the open fire and we were looking at old photographs. And as I recall, I had a photograph in my hand. I made some comment and somebody in the family said, "Can I see it?" And rather than getting up and handing it to them, I threw it to them. But of course, it didn't go where I wanted it to go. It went into the blazing fire. And that was the end of that photograph. The fact that we as sinners are not consumed by a holy God is amazing. So prayer is a wonderful privilege, and it's a privilege which most of us, myself the first, would say we don't use enough. We don't use it as we should. So let us this morning, for our instruction and our encouragement, look at how Paul prayed for the Christians in Rome. And I invite you to open your Bibles there. Romans chapter 1, we're looking from verses 8 to 12. And whenever we come to any passage of Scripture and we want to study it, how can we get to the bottom of it? How can we really understand what it is saying? Well, the simple answer is that we can ask ourselves various questions. Who did what? When? Where? Why? How? And we can ask those questions of any passage to get to understand it. And when we ask those questions of this passage, this is what we come up with. So I want to suggest four or five brief points. When we ask, how does Paul pray? First of all, the answer is the manner of his prayer is with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You see what he says in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. It is with thanksgiving. He's going to tell us in a moment what he prays for, but first of all, he tells us how he prays. And before he comes on to ask for things, he gives thanks for what they have already received. And that's how we should pray. You know the letters of the word acts: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Before we come to supplication, asking God for things, we should give thanks for what we've already received. And that's true in our everyday life. It helps us to appreciate what we've already received when we give thanks for it. Paul practiced what he preached. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So having a thankful attitude is the right thing to do. It also has an effect on us that when we are thankful, it helps us to appreciate what we already have. When we say grace, for example, before a meal, it's not an empty ritual. It helps us appreciate what God has given us, that we have enough food on the table. It reminds us that there are millions of people around the world who don't have as much as us. Being thankful helps us to be more content with what we have. It helps us to be less envious of others and more joyful. Being thankful helps us to have a positive witness to others. A.W. Pink, the commentator, says this: nothing is more calculated to dispel a spirit of gloom from the soul than the cultivation of gratitude and praise. Piety, he says, is not commended by sadness and sourness. Christians shouldn't be going around moaning and complaining, going around with a long face. We have so much to be thankful for, the blessings, the material blessings we have, but also our spiritual blessings, the fact that we can know God as our Creator and as our Father, that we've received the gift of eternal life. And so may we imitate Paul then, being truly thankful for what God has given us. So how does Paul pray? The manner of his prayer is one of thanksgiving. Secondly, to whom does Paul pray? The one invoked is God. The one invoked is God. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Who do we pray to? Many of our neighbours, our Roman Catholic neighbours, pray. They pray perhaps more than nominal Protestants. But when we're speaking to our neighbours, what do we say? Here's an opportunity for evangelism. We can ask our neighbours, you pray? Who do you pray to? Do you know this person you're praying to? How can we know him? Do you read your Bible? There's a young man I'm speaking to who's involved in an organization called Recovery. Recovery helps those who've been in addiction to drugs or alcohol or whatever. And it does much good work. And they talk about praying to the higher power, however you consider it. The higher power. Now that's all inclusive. A Muslim would agree with that. But who is this higher power? The point is that the Bible tells us God is a God who speaks. God reveals himself. That's why we read the Bible, to learn about God, who he is, how he acts. So Paul here, he's praying. He's not praying to Mary. He's not praying to the saints. He's praying to God. And it's not some faraway God. My God. I thank my God. Here is a God he knows. He's not remote and distant. He is my God. Here's a relationship. A relationship that God promised to Abraham way back. Remember? God said to him, I will be your God, you will be my people. There was a relationship, a family relationship. It was a relationship that David experienced as he wrote Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. Early I seek you. And it's a relationship that was made possible by Jesus. Because he went to the cross and he paid for our sins, we can know God as our God. I thank my God, says Paul, that this God who has given his Son for us, he is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanks. And if we know God as our God, then our hearts and our lives ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving. That's why we come to worship, to praise God, to return our thanks for his love to us and his goodness to us. When we make God the subject of our meditation, the subject of our adoration, then our hearts will not be dull and cold, but they will be warm and enthusiastic and overflowing. So to whom does Paul pray? The one invoked is God. The third question, on what basis does Paul pray? On what basis does Paul pray? The ground of his approach is Jesus Christ. He doesn't pray on the basis of his own merit. God will hear me because I am a good person, or God will answer me because I pray a whole lot. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And this is important. We might take it for granted. Of course, it's through Jesus. What else? But this is important because there are lots of people around us who don't think like that. And they imagine, well, I deserve to be heard because I'm a good person. God has to answer my prayers because after all, I go to church and I pray a lot. And people get angry. Why does God not answer my prayers? I deserve it. I thank my God through Jesus Christ. It is only as we come through Jesus. There's one mediator, there's one God and one mediator, the Lord Jesus. And it's only as we come through him. It's only as we put our trust in him as our Savior and turn from our sins and commit our lives to Christ, then we have access into God's presence. Excuse me. There's only one mediator. There's only one person who has died to make atonement for sin and who has risen again from the grave. So it is only as we are in Christ, as we repent of our sins and commit ourselves to Christ, turn away from sin and follow Christ as our Lord. The writer to Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 15 says this, through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So we're going through Christ in order to pray and to praise God. When we end our prayers by saying, in Christ's name, that is not simply a little formula without a meaning. It is a recognition that we have no merit of our own. It is only through Christ's merit that we can come to God. And it's on the basis of what Jesus has done to make our salvation possible that we come to our Heavenly Father and we pray to him. So on what basis does Paul pray? It's on the ground of trusting in Christ, on the ground of what Jesus has done. And so we rejoice in Christ our Savior. The simple fact is then, if you are not trusting in Christ, if you haven't come to this point of yielding your life to him, then you have no access to God. And it's no wonder that your prayers are not answered. But as we hear the gospel, you are invited to turn to Christ and to enter God's presence through the one mediator. And that is God's invitation to you, and it is God's invitation to our neighbours as we speak to them and we call upon them. Don't be trusting in yourself that you're a good person or that you pray a whole lot or that you go to church. Trust in Christ and Christ alone. So on what basis does Paul pray? His ground of approach is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, who does Paul pray for? And the people that he prays for are the believers in Rome. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. He's talking about the Christians in the city of Rome. Verse 7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, the thing is, as Paul writes this letter to the Romans, it's different from most of his other letters because Paul had never been to Rome at this point. He had never met these people that he's writing to. Usually, Paul went out as a missionary, he preached the gospel, people were converted, and sometime later, then Paul wrote to them. And that's what we have in the different letters of Paul. But here, these people had been converted by somebody else. And yet, Paul prays for them. You see, there's nothing narrow about Paul. There's nothing selfish about the way he goes on. God had used other Christians. Perhaps some of these people had been in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, the very first time when Peter preaches and 3,000 were converted. And they come back and they share the gospel with their neighbors. And now there's a church in this city. So there's no narrowness and there's no bigotry. There's no sectarian exclusiveness. And when we pray, it's right that we pray for our own missionaries that we know in person, but we pray for others. We pray for missionaries in far-off lands that we've never met, and that is only right. So Paul prays for the Christians in Rome. He says about them, the end of verse 8, because your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Their faith was not merely nominal. It was a living and powerful force in their lives. It wasn't lifeless. It was vigorous and fruitful. They'd heard the gospel and their lives had been transformed. They were new people. And this was seen by their neighbors. People talked about it. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Can the same thing be said of us? Not just that, well, he goes to church, she goes to church, but there's someone who really loves Jesus, who's trusting in Christ as their Savior. So who does Paul pray for? He prays for the Christians in Rome. And finally, what does Paul pray for? How does he pray? The manner of his prayer is with thanksgiving. Who does Paul pray to? He prays to God. On what grounds does he pray? On the basis of what Jesus has done. Who does he pray for? He prays for the believers in Rome. And what does he pray for? He prays for blessing. He prays for blessing. Look at these verses that follow. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He can say sincerely that he prays for these people. Now, quite often we meet somebody, they tell us about a concern that they have, and we say, well, I'll pray for you. And do we? Well, sometimes we do, but sometimes perhaps we forget. Paul can say and mean it that he prays for these folk. He prays for them regularly. Verse 10, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Paul wants to visit these people. He hasn't met them before. He's heard about them, but he's longing to go and visit them. But you notice how he prays. He's not dictating to God. He's not saying this is the way it has to be. He is being submissive to God's sovereignty. My request, if by some means, that he is submissive to God's providence. Sometimes we hear people praying and it's as if they're the boss and God's their servant and they're telling God what he has to do. We come to the Lord always with humility and always saying, not my will but yours be done. Verse 11, for I long to see you. You see how earnest he is? He really desires to be with them, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. He wants to see these Christians built up on their faith. He wants to be with them so that he can teach them, that they can grow as believers. But there's more. Verse 12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. You see, there's a two-way exchange here. Paul wanted to visit them so that he could teach them and they would receive a blessing through him. But it works the other way as well, that he would receive a blessing through them. And that's how it is in the church. You get a blessing from attending worship, but you also are a blessing to others. You are a blessing to your minister. The fact that you sit with your eyes open and listen and go out in the week to put it into practice, that's an encouragement to your minister. Your presence in church is a blessing to the others around you. A few years ago, we were over in America. Our son David is living there now, married to an American. And I got into conversation with this young woman who was a Christian, who had lived in the city of Syracuse, New York. And I had been to Syracuse, and I knew some of the people in the church there. That's where David McCune lives. And I was speaking to this young woman, and I asked her what church she went to. And she said, "Ah, it's a wee church, I'm sure you've never heard of it. It's called the Reformed Presbyterian Church." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting. In fact, I do know it. I know quite a few people there." And I said, "Well, why did you go there?" And she said, "Well, I went around different churches. But here was a church. And when the people said, 'I'll pray for you,' they meant it. When the people said, 'I'll pray for you,' they meant it. And they did it." And she was attending church. When she got married, her husband attended with her. You see, you folk have a ministry one to another. You are an encouragement to each other. That's how it is in the church. Here's Paul, the great apostle. But these ordinary Christians, they were an encouragement to him. So, don't underestimate the blessing you can be to those around you. So he prays. that he'd be able to visit them soon. Does God answer his prayer? Well, yes, he does, but not immediately, and probably not in the way that Paul imagined. Because after writing these words, Paul was arrested. He was in prison in Caesarea, out in Palestine, for 2 years. And then he was sent back to Rome for trial. And we read about it in the last 2 chapters in the book of Acts. And this wasn't a pleasure trip, a leisure cruise. He was a prisoner. And there was a storm. And for 14 days the storm raged. This is how God answered his prayer. He got to Rome. And eventually he was able to, first of all, he was able to rent a house for himself, and he was able to get visitors to come to him, and he was able to sit and write some of his letters. And then he was in more difficult circumstances, and eventually he was executed. But God answered his prayer. And we have to be prepared that when we pray, maybe God will answer our prayers, but maybe not in the way we want or we imagined. This wasn't comfortable for Paul, but it's the way God did it. I remember going back a good number of years, being involved in a Bible study, and a young person sharing with us, this was her prayer, that she would get to know God better in her spiritual life. And she said, well, God has answered that prayer because God struck her with insomnia. She couldn't sleep. And so she got up in the middle of the night. She sat down with her Bible, read it, and prayed. And she grew closer to God. Physically, she was exhausted, but spiritually, she was growing in her faith. So God had answered her prayer, but maybe not in the way she had expected. And as you here in Fochan, and we in Brady, and our churches, as we pray that God would lead people to us, new members, maybe he'll do it in a way that we don't imagine. Maybe he'll bring someone along who is struggling with addiction. There may be a drug addict or whatever, and they need a friend to walk beside them and to help them conquer this addiction. God may send someone who's got a lot of baggage, and we have to help that person. So we have to be prepared when we pray that God might answer our prayers in a more uncomfortable way than we imagine. So let us take Paul as our example, as we see how he prays for the church in Rome. The manner of his prayer is one of thanksgiving. The one prayed to is God. The basis of his prayer was Christ and his work on the cross. Who does he pray for? He prays for the believers, all the believers. And what does he pray? He prays for blessing, that he might be able to visit them so that he could bring a blessing to them and they would be a blessing to him. So, let us pray as Paul did. Amen. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful privilege of entering your presence, that we who are sinners find forgiveness through Christ. We pray, Father, that each one of us, as we stand in your presence here this morning, would indeed be trusting in Christ and in Christ alone, that he would be our Savior, that we would love him for the sacrifice that he made as he went to the cross. This day, as we think of the soldiers giving their lives as a sacrifice for the nation, we thank you for Jesus, who didn't have to leave glory, but who came on our behalf, who lived a life without sin, a life we could not live, and who gave that life as a sacrifice on the cross, who put up with that shame and suffering on our behalf. So, Lord, fill us with a love for Jesus. Fill us with a desire then to meet with you in prayer and talk to you and seek your guidance and your blessing upon us day by day. Help us to pray for one another in the congregation, as we have a congregational list of family names. Help us to be faithful in praying through that list day by day. And we pray, Lord, that we'd have the joy of seeing you at work in our midst, building us up in our faith, strengthening us, adding to our number, bringing in others that we can minister to in your name. So, Lord, thank you for this prayer from Paul for the church at Rome. And help us, Lord, to imitate him. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We close by singing Psalm 63. And the tune is 102, which is Jackson. Psalm 63. O you, my God, I'll early seek. My soul, it thirsts for you. In dry land, weary, waterless, my flesh longs after you. Now, perhaps in this neck of the woods, finding dry land that's waterless, it requires a bit of imagination. But imagine if you're in the desert and you have nothing to drink. You're longing for water. Here's the same desire that the psalmist has. He wants to be with God in his presence. I've looked upon you thus before within your holy place. He's coming to worship. The holy place was the temple where the sacrifices were offered. And those Old Testament sacrifices were a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross. So it's all on the basis of Christ. Because your grace is more than life, my lips you praise will give. But however long or short we live on this earth, it's knowing God and his love and his grace that really counts, and living with him in glory forever. So Psalm 63, let us sing verses 1 to 6 of this psalm.
With your holy
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.